chromosomes. Little strands of nucleic acids and proteins are the fundamental genetic instructions that tell us who we are at birth. Most people are born with 46 chromosomes, but each year in the United States, about 6,000 people are born with an extra chromosome, making them a person with Down syndrome. If you've ever encountered someone with Down syndrome, you know that they are some of the kindest, most joyful people you will ever meet. They truly have something extra. My name is Lisa Nichols, and I have spent the last 24 years as both the CEO of Technology Partners and as the mother to Allie. Allie has something extra in every sense of the word. I have been blessed to be by her side as she impacts everyone she meets. Through these two important roles as CEO and mother to Allie, I have witnessed countless life lessons that have fundamentally changed the way I look at the world. While you may not have an extra chromosome, every leader has something extra that defines who you are. Join me as I explore the something extra in leaders from all walks of life and discover how that difference in each of them has made a difference in their companies, their families, their communities, and in themselves. I am delighted to have Ron Jordan on the show today. Ron is a PR and media relations manager at Focus on Energy and the co-founder of Geo's Garden. If you like this episode today, please go to Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen and leave us a 5-star rating. So Ron, welcome to the Something Extra podcast. We have so much to talk about today, and I'm so excited about some particular topics that we're going to talk about. And I always like to kind of go back and say, what is the origin of the connection? I think it's really important for people to understand that, you know, when you say yes to meeting one person, that may lead to meeting another person. And that's precisely what's happened here, because Liz Wright is a mutual friend, and I met her through a United Way event. And she said, you need to know my friend, Ron.
So I met Liz through her husband, Trevor, when they were up here in Madison, Wisconsin. I worked at WKOW, the AABC affiliate TV station up here, and he was a photographer at the TV station. And man, that was 2004. So I went to their wedding, and I've known them for quite a long time. So
awesome.
It's amazing. Connections are amazing. That's for sure.
They are. You never know what's on the other side of one connection. So shout out to Liz Wright. But you are married to Charlotte DeLuste, who's a news anchor in Madison, Wisconsin. And what we found out, Jenny did a little research and found out that Charlotte is actually from St. Louis.
Yes, she is. She is an Ursuline grad. She lived with her parents in St. Louis until she went to college, and we met at Marquette in Milwaukee. But we head down to St. Louis all the time. Her mother and sister are still living there right off of 270.
Yeah. Well, that was a fun connection to hear that. You guys have two boys, Giovanni and Benicio, and we're going to be talking a lot about that. But I'm going to read something here from your bio, but you said, I've spent my entire career creating content. At 16 years old, which is amazing to me, you began writing newscasts for a morning radio station. And then you've gone on, you've produced local TV newscasts in 6 different television markets across the United States. You're assistant news director. You've done a lot of different things. But tell me, Ron, did you write were you kind of a journalist when you were little? What inspired you? Tell me about growing up and how you were inspired to launch into this field.
I think I realized that I really wanted to be a journalist when I was around 12 years old. I always liked to write. The youngest of three, I have three older sisters, and I always thought that they were ridiculous with the stories that they would tell. My oldest sister was 13 when I was born. So the age gap provided me a lot of interesting stories. So I just started writing when I was young. And then at 12, I remember sitting at the kitchen table, and my mother always watched Peter Jennings. We always watched the national news, ABC, Peter Jennings at 5:30 during dinner, and would talk about the news and all that. And I think that that is what triggered me to want to be a TV reporter. And I went down that route. I never got on the air, but I stayed in the background. I was the one that would write the newscasts, and the anchors would read it. And I would decide with the newsroom what the news was, and it was a fantastic career. It was awesome.
Oh, that is awesome. Well, you said an operative word. You said the word stories. So you probably at a very early age hearing your sister's stories, you know, really resonated with you. And that's what journalism is, isn't it? It's telling a story. And so we'll get into this, but I know what you're doing today. You're working for a digital marketing agency and it's about the stories, Ron, and how you can tell those in an interesting and compelling way.
So I've moved on from the digital agency. And so now I've moved into public relations. And I'm doing more social media side. And so that, again, is telling stories, but for a central company, a corporate company that I work for now. And that is a completely different world. So I went from the journalism world, I went through marketing and advertising, and now I'm in PR. So I've run the communications gambit that I studied at Marquette. Regardless, it's telling stories to get people to learn new things, to want to try new things, to understand there's a whole world out there they might not know about.
Yes. Oh, that's so good. We could do a whole podcast just on that. But, you know, I'm going to go back to Marquette. So you and Charlotte both went to Marquette. You have a BA in communications from there. Marquette is in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. You guys met there, but didn't start dating until a little bit later. But there's a few qualities that both of you in some of the research talked about with Marquette that you learned there. Strength, determination, confidence were some of the qualities that were instilled in you from Marquette. And we're going to get into this, but I mean, this has come into play even with what you guys have gone through, you know, in the last 12 years. And we'll talk about that. But, you know, is there anything else you'd want to say about Marquette University? Strength, determination, confidence.
With those three, they also instilled a value system of helping others. I went through Jesuit education, high school and college. And one of the things with the Jesuits that I took from it is you recognize that you have some privilege and you should take that and help others and boost them up and help them get to where you are, or help them at least get to where they can start to do things for themselves. That was it's a big thing, cura personalis, and being there for others. Those are big things among the Jesuit community, and that they instilled that into us, which is as we went along with our career and how our life has turned and the journey we've taken had definitely helped us get to where we are today.
Yeah. Oh, well, I want to definitely dig into that. So you and Charlotte, you know, have had both amazing careers. Like you said, you have produced newscasts and you've always been in that journalism space. She has been a news anchor. Very demanding careers. We've talked about that offline, and I've got lots of friends that are in that world and they say it can be really consuming. You know, I think you two actually worked at competitive stations, didn't you?
Yeah, we worked at competing stations. We worked at the same station, but we didn't start dating until I went to the competition down the street. And so that was, it's a small world. Broadcasting is a small world. And when you spend so much time with people, that ends up happening a lot in the industry. But yes, I worked at a competitor and then we started dating and then got engaged. And then I moved with her because it's tougher to be a female TV anchor than it is for producers such as me to jump around. So when she got a job as a main anchor out east in Pennsylvania, I quit and followed her and was able to, within a few months, get a job at her TV station as the 6 p.m. producer. So I made that decision, it was, all right, where are we going to go? Where is she going to go? Because she's getting where she needs to be. And so I just followed her.
That's awesome. I love that support. You got to have that. But, you know, what I want to talk about, because there's a lot here that I want to unpack, but you guys, you're life changed a little bit. I call it like a life interruption, but your life changed a little bit with the birth of your first child, and it's Giovanni. Your world was turned upside down a little bit. Ron, tell us that journey.
Well, since we were in TV and we ended up back in Wisconsin where we kind of wanted to be, and in Madison, you make a decision, okay, are you going to have kids? Are you going to stay put? And we did that when we got to Madison. And so the birth of our first child was 2005, Giovanni. And then when he was 7 months old, we started noticing what at night he was having what we thought were night terrors. And he had been having them for months, but he would have maybe one or two a night. We didn't think anything of it. And one day I was feeding him, and he had one of these events in front of me while I was feeding him. And he just immediately would look around scared, like he didn't know where he was. And then he would come out of it, and then it'd be fine. So we videoed it, and May 10th, 2006, went to the doctor. At the end of the visit, showed her the video, and within 4 seconds, she stopped it and said, "How long has this been happening? He's having seizures." And I can still hear her say that. And immediately on the 11th of May, we were at the hospital and we're doing EEG. That afternoon, they called us and said, "Could you come in and talk with a neurologist?" And then on the 12th of May, 12th May 2005, we went in and we're told he has epilepsy. He's having constant seizures that we're not even seeing. And he was put on medication. And then they said, "We want you to see a neurosurgeon and do an MRI. And that was May of 2005. By August 29th, we were in the hospital for his first brain surgery. They had discovered a cyst in a portion of his brain, the arachnoid area. And they believed maybe the cyst was what was causing the seizures. So we did the surgery. And after recovering and stuff from the surgery, the seizures got worse, much worse. And the medicine started changing. And he was then diagnosed with what's called Lennox-Gastaut syndrome, which is a very rare childhood seizure disorder. And I remember he was way behind after the surgeries. I mean, you know, he didn't walk very well until probably he was 14, 15 months. He was speaking, and as the seizures got bad, because as they got worse, Lennox-Gastaut is characterized by hundreds of seizures a day. And that's what started happening to him. They weren't just at night anymore. And when I say seizures, everyone, how are you having seizures, 100 seizures a day? And a lot of people don't realize that all seizures are not grand mal seizures. Some of them are, you know, you just like jerk. Some of them, they last like 10 seconds or that they fall to the ground. Those are the worst, the tonic seizures. Absence seizures, where you just instantly like stare off blindly. You're just not there. He would have all of these kinds of seizures all throughout the day. He started losing his language, and we just started seeing him deteriorate. And I mean, our entire world was completely turned upside down. My wife was working the morning show. So her shift at that time, she'd get up at 1:30. She's at work at 3 a.m. And luckily, they had her part-time with all the stuff that was happening with Gio. So she'd come home at 8, and then I would leave for work. And then, you know, 3 years, Gio was 3 years old, and we had another child, Benicio. And so now we have two kids. I'm working day, you know, 9 to 6, 7 o'clock. It's TV news, you know, sometimes 9 to 9. And then we have a newborn, a child having hundreds of seizures a day. And we were at a breaking point. It's a different world. I had never experienced it before. My wife hadn't experienced this kind of medical needs. My wife has a younger sister who has Down syndrome and who lives at home. And it's Down syndrome, nonverbal, very much autistic tendencies, to be honest. And she was born in the 70s, though, so that was a different time. But she knew right away what was going to start be happening for the rest of our lives, because she had already experienced it. I had not. So it was at 3 years, when he was 3 years old and everything started getting really, really bad, was when everything kind of blew up. And Charlotte came up with the idea, which is now something called Gio's Garden.
Yes. And I cannot wait to dig into that. And I mean, Ron, the schedules that you guys were keeping, even if you'd had two typically developing children, is a lot. But yes, it is. When you have a special needs child, and we'll talk about that because there's silver linings. There definitely are. We have a special needs child. You know that. Our youngest daughter has Down syndrome. She is the biggest blessing in our life. But there's just extra things that come along with that, right? You know, and so for you guys, I love Gio's Garden. You know, I'm going to talk about that just for a little bit before we take a break. But oftentimes, families with special needs children can feel like they're on an island. I mean, it's hard to get away. It's hard to even have a date. It's hard to, you know, go to the grocery store. You know, it's more difficult. And so you guys clearly saw a gap there for families. So tell me the mission and the vision. Tell me what Geo's Garden is, and then we do need to take a quick break.
Sure. So when all this was happening, when he was three, we tried to get personal care work, help at home, someone to come and help us with Geo so that we could get a little bit of a break. And, you know, you fill out these forms with the state. It came back that he was not disabled enough, which is a bizarre thing to hear. But when you, when you fill out these forms and they don't see the child, they have no idea. But because he was mobile and walking around and whatever bubble we filled out wrong, we couldn't get help. And so that really sparked Charlotte. And she sat down with me and she said, well, obviously we're not alone. And I said, well, I mean, of course we're not. And she said, well, we have to do something for other families. And so while we were dealing with all of this, we got a board together. We formed a nonprofit, started raising donations. I thought that Charlotte was crazy, but I said, this, I think this is a great idea. It was a great idea, but we didn't know what we were doing. And that was 2009. In 2012, we opened Geo's Garden, and it is a respite home for special needs children, families with special needs children, birth to six, where we provide 25 hours a month where they can bring their children. And you said the right words, you know, dates, grocery shopping, anything where you would, you know, you kind of take it for granted, where you can go and do things. You can't do that with a special needs child. Charlotte and I didn't go on a date for 5 years. We just could not find someone to take care of our child. We didn't have family here in town. And so Geo's Garden provides that. Families call, they set a schedule. Usually it's like 4 hours a week or whatever. And we have therapists there, occupational therapists, speech therapists, PT. They do play therapy. And the kids get time away from the parents. And trust me, our kids know when we're stressed out and we need a break. They want to get away from us. You know, we didn't want to hang out with our parents. they want to get away from us. And then the parents get a little bit of a break to go and do the things that they need to do. And that was something that you can't really find anywhere. We discovered that this is a unique place because, you know, it's not daycare, but it's unique. And it's a fantastic place. We opened in 2012 and it's 10 years later.
10 years later, here you are. Well, and, you know, and I know your bigger audacious vision, right, Ron, is possibly to bring that same concept to other metros, because Madison is not unique in that. You know, there's other metros that need that as well. But we do need to take a quick break, and then we'll be right back with Something Extra Podcast with Ron Jordan.
Hey there. In a challenging business climate like this, savvy leaders look to technology to find an edge. This can mean the difference between staying ahead of the curve or playing catch up. It's time to collaborate with the highly skilled experts at Technology Partners. Our team of technologists draws upon decades of experience for your project, with each bringing a passion for solving problems and a track record of success. How can we help you overcome your biggest technology challenges? Visit technologypartners.net to book a free consultation with one of our leaders.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Something Extra Podcast with Ron Jordan. So, Ron, you and I have talked a little bit about this offline. And I said, you know, even if you did not have a special needs child, what you guys were doing was really hard. But boy, when you add this special needs child in there, and you and I have talked about this, our daughter Allie is one of God's greatest blessings to us. There's no doubt. But there's extra things that came along with it. And sadly, I know even a lot of marriages, like they say 85 to 87% of marriages, when they have a special needs child, they don't make it because of that added stress. And it's added emotional stress. It's time. It's energy. There's a financial burden often because insurance doesn't cover everything. Tell me the experience with you and Charlotte. And I'm so grateful that you are doing this together and you're on the same page, but maybe that wasn't always the case.
You're correct about that last part. It was difficult doing all of this, plus, you know, having a second child and making sure that we weren't neglecting him. And it wasn't until 2014, it was 2 years after we had opened, and we had families coming in and everything was going great. I was at an event, where a gala event. I had two fathers of children who used our services come up to me. They wanted to buy me a drink, and they both flat out said, thank you for saving our marriage. our marriages. And I looked at them and I had never really thought about it. And one of them said, you know, we were there. We weren't together anymore. It was, you know, everything was focused on everything around them and not themselves. And giving the time for the two, for, you know, to reconnect. And that, and really that's a big thing, you know, because and for any family, for even if you don't have special needs children, I mean, you know, if you don't take time with your partner, that's eventually what's going to happen. And so the time that we were providing for couples to reconnect, that moved me. And I've heard that countless times. We've gone through, what do we, our stats are, we're about 300 families have gone through. There's 75 families with us now. That and, you know, I would say I've heard from the 300 families, I would have to say at least 100 of those families I heard from the dads and Charlotte, from the mothers, saving their marriage. And, you know, the stress on us, you know, that could have harmed our marriage. And there, you know, there were obviously times where it was like, we're not focusing on ourselves. But I think in the end, I felt and I discovered that my goal now, and Gio was here for a purpose. Gio came for a purpose. And that purpose was to let people know about these families. And he's helping these families he doesn't even know. But I take him out in the community and I don't, you know, I don't hide my child. And he can have issues out there in public. But I think it's important for other people to know that, you know, we're kind of hidden. And I do the exact opposite. I hear Gio and all these families and pay attention to them and try and help them. They're your neighbors. And it's been great. Once I moved to that side of it and Gio showed me, like, hey, be my voice. I consider myself the voice for Gio. It was an eye-opening experience. It was fantastic. And that's how I've been living, you know, since then. He is an angel. And love him to death. Love him to death.
An angel on earth, right, Ron? They're like angels on earth. I have said that so many times. We have an angel living in our house. Is she not always an angel? I mean, if you don't get her the Starbucks that she wants when she wants it. She can get, you know, that's sometimes a misunderstanding.
Cans of Coke
too.
For this guy.
Yeah, cans of Coke. That's funny. Well, you've already said it a little bit, you know, but so the secret really for you and Charlotte is, number one, to realize it's not about you. Gio was put here for a purpose and he was put in your family for a purpose. And then the other thing is, Ron, you do have to be, whether, and you said it perfectly, even if you don't have a child with special needs, you got to be intentional about spending that time with one another. Or I don't care if you don't have a child with special needs, you're going to grow apart, you know? And so I think it sounds like you guys have learned a lot, you know, from him, and there's definitely been silver linings. Now, I know that Gio is nonverbal, I think. What have you learned about communicating? You probably learned a lot from him too, right, Ron? Things that you didn't know you were going to learn and how to communicate differently.
I've learned an incredible amount of, about the brain and seizures. Communication-wise, what was interesting is he had words. He used to speak. The reason it's called Gio's Garden, and everyone kind of thinks that it's this big garden or whatever, is because one of his first words was flowers. He loved flowers. And he would go out and pick flowers and stuff. And then when he lost his ability to speak, for us, that's why we named it Gio's Garden. And also in our logo, we have a tulip in there. And that's a reference to the poem or story about not going after you get married for your honeymoon to France, you know, going to Holland. We didn't want to go to Holland, but that's a reference to that story. Gio, he is usually always very, very happy. He's a very happy child. The communication portion of it, though, was when we realized that that's what was frustrating him. So he has we call it his talker. It's a communication device like an iPad, and it uses PECs. And he's gotten really good at it. So I want car ride. I want this and fantastic. The problems with it are, if we don't have something, you know, you better figure out what you're going to do. he's 17 now and as tall as me and as big as me. And they can use their weight, these kids. It's interesting.
Oh, sure. Yeah, for sure. Well, you know, I had another thought as you're talking, Ron. It's so interesting to me because you and Charlotte both have spent your whole entire careers in communications. And now you have a child.
And here we are.
That communicates differently, right? But that's just such an amazing connection point there, I think.
Lisa, I got to tell you, I hadn't even thought of that until you just said it. I don't think that Charlotte has thought of that either. That's not something that we even... Yeah,
it's interesting.
Is that irony or is that a coincidence?
Yeah, maybe unpack that one. Now, I know that Charlotte, and I absolutely love this, Ron. She's got a television channel. I think it's on Channel 3 that's called Do Something Good. Is she still doing that show?
So she does special stories for the 6 and 10 p.m. newscast that she anchors, and it's the Do Something Good stories. So she has people send her emails and stuff about people that are doing things out of the ordinary, going above and beyond for the community, for other people, because the news, it doesn't always have all those great stories, and because news usually isn't that good. But there are stories out there that should be told. And that's what she does. So she's the Do Something Good lady here in town.
I love that. Well, look, I mean, you know, that can inspire when one person sees someone else doing something good and going above and beyond, the hope is that will inspire them to do the same thing. And then can you imagine the multiplicity effect of that, Ron, and what our world would look like if everybody just said, you know, today I'm going to do something good. And it doesn't have to be going and starting a nonprofit like Geo's Garden. You know, it could be buying a cup of coffee for someone or a kind word, but wow, I love that. I just think it only takes a spark, right, to get a fire going, and we can really create a movement there. And I'm sure that's what Charlotte's done there in that market. So tell me a little bit about your current role and what you're doing, and then we'll talk about something extra. And then I want you to tell our listeners how they can get involved in Geo's Garden or connect with you. But what are you doing? Tell me about your current role and what's your mission there?
I work for Focus on Energy here in Wisconsin, and it is the Energy Efficiency Solution Program for the state. And I do PR, so I try to tell people, be more energy efficient. It's a program that Wisconsin started more than 20 years ago, one of the first in the country. And we make sure that, you know, people are using LEDs. We just, you know, insulation in the attics and all of that stuff. We're trying to help people lower their bills and stop energy waste and not have to build new power plants in the state of Wisconsin. That really is one of the biggest goals of Focus on Energy. The utilities did not want to build new power plants, but with population and all that, how are they going to do it? So no new power plants have been built in Wisconsin, and we're pretty energy efficient here in the state, and we continue to work on that with all the manufacturing and industrial plants up north, Appleton, you know, all the paper companies and Green Bay area and all the metal manufacturing and all that down the pipeline between Green Bay and Milwaukee. We work with those businesses, and some of those businesses, you know, they can save, some of them spend like $1 million on their bills, electricity bills a month. And when we go in there and show them what they can do, usually we can cut that in half. That's so amazing. You can tell a business you're going to go down in half if you do this and this and this. They love it. So yeah, it's fun.
So are you educating people mainly through the social media platforms, or is that how you're doing it? Are you doing TV ads? I mean, how are you educating people? What's the vehicle?
Yeah, we do all of it. We basic regular media ads and all that. And I do PR to try and get people on TV and in the newspapers and all that. And we do yearly, I just wrapped up awards. So we give 15 awards to businesses and contractors to highlight what they do and show what they do. And then I push
that
those,
are doing it well.
Yeah, push those through so people recognize that, you know, this plant down here isn't bad. This is what they're doing for you. And it's actually pretty enlightening to people. They have no idea. They don't really realize until you start to tell them, this company is saving this amount of energy and that can power this many homes in the community. And when you say it like that, they, oh, wait a second. So yeah, they're not using that energy. It's staying put and those homes get the energy. So that's a big deal.
It's amazing. And those companies should be highlighted, you know, for their sustainability efforts. And, you know, it's kind of part of your corporate social responsibility too, you know, as a responsible citizen. So tell me, Ron, what do you believe is something extra that every leader needs?
Something that I've struggled with is patience. I think every leader needs a lot of patience. And that took me as well a long time to learn. And with all the twists and turns that happened after my son was born, patience was hard to come by. And not having patience certainly caused job and career issues with everything going on. So if I've learned one thing, it's take a breath, patience, think it'll happen. It doesn't always have to be your way.
Oh, that's good. I like that. I think you're the first person out of 205 or 6 episodes that have said patience. But that is so good. And
really?
Wow. Yeah. But I think seriously, you know, because what we're dealing with human beings, right? And we're dealing sometimes in business or in leadership, Ron, with situations that are out of our control, you know, and we have to have that patience to continue to look for a solution or, you know, to move through that, whatever that challenge might be. So I love that.
One of my bosses who was a mentor of mine, and he happened to pass away a few years ago. The one thing that I will always remember him telling me in his office one day is you can't save everybody and you can't expect people to work exactly as hard as you do. And he was telling me that because my expectations for everyone else were to work exactly like me. And, you know, that's, if my work ethic is here and someone you can't do that. That's not good management. And I took that with me and I still live by it. And patience is part of it. Patience is part of it.
It sure is. It sure is. Well, thank you. Well, so Ron, tell our listeners, if somebody's listening now, how can they get involved? I mean, what can they do? You know, I mean, and tell them how they can find you, because somebody may be sitting in another metro and say, hey, I want to do something like that here in Chicago or St. Louis or wherever the case may be.
And that would be great. That's really the next steps for us are trying or to expand in Wisconsin. And we have a few board members that they want to expand Wisconsin. They want to make this, you know, a nationwide thing. So it, really, if you go to geosgarden.org, so G-I-O-S garden.org, tons of information there. Sign up for the newsletter and you can get a hold of me through there. Send an email through it. The executive director and stuff will come back and to me. If anyone out there, if there are parents out there listening to this and they feel that they, you know, they're alone or they have no one, you can get a hold of me. I've been trying to help other parents because it's been a journey. And if there's one thing I've learned, you feel alone a lot and there's other people out there. So I am willing to talk to people who need a break and to hear from someone who's gone through it.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for that, Ron. You and Charlotte are truly inspiring people. You really are. And I'm so grateful to know you guys now. So, well, thank you again so much for being on the show today and enjoy the rest of your day.
Thank you very much for having me. Thank you. This is great. Take care.
Thank you for listening to today's show. Something Extra with Lisa Nichols is a Technology Partners production. Copyright Technology Partners, Inc., 2019. For show notes or to reach Lisa, visit tpi.co/podcast. Don't forget to leave a review on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or wherever you listen.